Many of us have been studying divine science for a period of time. We have learned a great deal about life, about God, and about us from a spiritual point of view. We have learned the value of prayer and meditation, the importance of lifted consciousness, and the revelation of the truth of our being. We are now able to distinguish between what is real and what is unreal, what is temporary, what is absolute, what is passing, and what is lasting. Now, the learning process, it may have been exciting, stimulating our intellect into areas that had never considered before. We may have studied philosophy and psychology, entertaining theories of a related nature, allowing our minds to wander beyond our previous degree of knowledge and understanding. And we feel so good about what we have done. After all, knowledge is a wonderful thing. And we are certain we are paving the way for greater rewards and improvement. The sincere student of life may pause and acknowledge that while all of this sounds so good, exactly how does one translate knowledge into rewards and improvement? How does this work? And where is the evidence of what we have learned? Well, the thing is this. What we entertain in our head does not translate into manifestation unless we do something with it. All of this studying, all of our pondering and conclusions, well, they have been informative and helpful. Nevertheless, at some point, we must live what we say we know and put into practice what we have learned. This is the only way it will become alive for us. Now, up until that time, we may have been thrilled with what others have had to say. We may have been inspired and encouraged by their testimony and experience. We may absolutely agree with what we have read and what we have heard. However, mental agreement will only take us but so far. The learning process that involves mental work is merely the invitation to come up higher and to dig deeper. We must remove this desire to know from the head and place it in the heart. You see, the heart, the core of our being, is our personal nature. It is receptive to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from above and beyond the activity of mental work. The deep revelations about God, about life, and about us, they are given to the heart and the soul of man. Suddenly we realize that we have a choice to make. Do we serve the head or the heart? Do we serve God or the intellect? Yes, the choice is ours. This is what today's lesson is all about. The biblical instruction to choose ye this day whom you will serve, God or mammon, is not merely a suggestion. Where we choose to place our focus and to what we give our attention determines reward and improvement. It is law. What we entertain in our mind, we will experience. The intellect of mental work, it considers opposites. Therefore, our experience may manifest as health or disease, as riches or poverty. It supports a belief in two powers. On the other hand, a spiritually minded choose the way of deeper revelation, which reveals but one power. They give their attention to spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Pondering their reality from the place of inner being, they discover the pearl of great price. Open and receptive to all that I have is thine. The choice is ours. If we sufficiently instruct the mind in truth, we will discover that our mind is not an antenna. Appearance and distraction cannot sway or tempt the mind stayed on God, on spiritual things. The changing scenes of experience and environment do not move the mind of Christ Jesus, the Christ consciousness. Then there can be no room for a belief in two powers in any form to enter to defile or to make a lie. Actually, we do choose each day whether we will serve God or mammon. We choose every day whether we will serve spirit, the one power, or do we entertain the belief in two powers? Our work then is to keep our eye of perception on high, above hypnotic suggestion and erroneous belief. There again, the choice is ours. You may say that we must be consciously alive. Now, the Bible speaks of dying to the human selfhood, to the man of dust, to the aspect of us that entertains thoughts of two powers. The remedy given to this situation is to be reborn. Now, to be reborn simply means to become new in our way of thinking and belief. To be reborn is a conscious act. Therefore, we may consciously attain it. Jesus gave us the formula, which no one else has ever improved upon, and it is this: ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, isn't this the goal of every practicing divine scientist? To know the truth of who we are and where we came from. And then, having discovered our reality, to live from that state of awareness. The whole secret is consciousness. To be conscious of something is to possess it. To follow Jesus' teaching, ye shall know the truth. We must consciously be aware there is such a thing as truth. We cannot practice something if we do not know it in a personal way. This is how it works. For instance, let us take that revelation, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you till the end of the world. Now, this is a statement of truth. Recognize this as truth. Be conscious of it. Live with it morning, noon, and night. Pray without ceasing, and we will bring it into our experience. And this really is the purpose of choosing spirit over man, to bring into our experience the reality of our divine nature. Practicing in this way, we choose the way of spirit. The act of personal surrender is, speak, Lord, I am listening. When led by spirit, we open ourselves and let the Spirit of God flow through us. Mystics and holy men, they have said it this way. There is a river known of old, from which the prophets drew, a living stream that ever flows the whole creation through. The river of life wells up in the soul consciousness, and its reality is, I go before you making every crooked place straight. In Divine Science, prayer is our way of establishing union and communion with God. It is our way of establishing in our minds, as within, so without. It is our way of giving ourselves to God. It is our way of opening ourselves to that which indwells each one of us, so that all that God is can proclaim itself on earth. Prayer is our way of turning to that realm of life that Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven, it's not a place, it's a state of consciousness. Remember, it is in consciousness that we become aware of spirit. Yes, it is an awareness. It is our awareness of peace that goes far beyond the place of human understanding. It is our awareness of a love that goes far beyond human affection and human emotion. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual reality, and all who enter this awareness discover a peace that is translated into an experience of outstreaming goodwill, a sense of well-being, a sense that I need nothing. This is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, this awareness, and whatever the need, it is met. Let us choose this day to abide in the secret place of the Most High. It's our true home. Now, every now and then, someone asks, what is Divine Science all about? There is an interesting sentence in the book of Genesis, and it is directed to all of us. And that sentence reads, be fruitful and have dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But the question for all of us is, how can we do this? How can we establish dominion over every living thing that moveth upon the earth when we cannot even seem to get rid of a headache? And how is it that we are to be fruitful on a regular basis when so many people barely have enough to eat? We soon discover that getting to know the truth is not going to be as easy as we thought it would be. I think the confusion comes when we try to accomplish spiritual things by choosing the way of the head, trying to think our way through, seeking dominion through physical might, claiming the fruit of the land rather than the fruit of the spirit. This I that establishes dominion is Christ, the presence that dwells in the soul of every man, every woman, and every child. The answer is that there is a life in you and in me, and this life is our Messiah. It is our trust. From within this life comes our strength and our wisdom. From within this life comes our health and our supply. If you or I were to take a cup of water from the Potomac River, in that cup, all that the river is would be in it. That cup is the river, individualized. Much in the same way that a branch of a tree is a tree, individualized. All that the tree is flows through that branch. And in the same way, all that God is in that life that is in you. Which means that right now, this very moment, You are representing God on earth. Now, because the creation cannot be any less than the Creator, whatever God is, the life in you, is, which is why it is contrary to life that we be sick, or in lack, or in fear, or at war. And the means through which we are lifted out of this sense of separation, which is what disease is, what lack is, limitation, what disharmony is, a sense that we are somehow separate and apart from God. The means that lifts us out is the Christ in you, the life in you. He sent his beloved Son into the world to heal the sick, to feed the hungry. He sent his beloved Son into the world to forgive the sinner and to raise the dead. However, this beloved Son is far more than that man who walked the earth many years ago. The Son is the Spirit of God that dwelled not only in that man of long ago, but dwells in every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth today. Or as the Bible says, this was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. For the Christ is not a man who walked the earth a long time ago and then left. The Christ is in you, living you now, even as we speak. Yes, the Christ in you is your hope of glory. Choose ye this day to serve Spirit, the Spirit that lives you and moves you. We are reminded that there are thousands of good people, honest people, church-going people, law-abiding people who never get anywhere for the simple reason they have yet to discover the power that already indwells them. Nevertheless, they are very involved in demonstrating one thing or another, because the creative principle indwells them, whether they like it or not. Now, every now and then, some people will say they cannot demonstrate anything. Now, we know this statement is not true. We are always in a state of demonstrating one thing or another. Now, true might not be what we would like, but that doesn't have anything to do with the principle. The principle is always at work. That's its function. It really matters not to the principle if what we are demonstrating is material or spiritual, whether it is physical or divine. At all time, we are involved with the demonstration of one thing or another. The principle's function is to fulfill itself, and it does so by manifesting the quality we give it. The determining factor is where we have chosen to place our belief. Is it with the God of Spirit or the man of dust? The thing is this, for the most part, many of us look outside ourselves for the source of our demonstration, serving the man of dust. You know what we do? We acknowledge the food that we eat as the source of our health. And we acknowledge the money that we have in the bank as the source of our sense of security and peace of mind. We look at personalities as if they were the source of our happiness. We live in a state of consciousness, obsessed with manifesting something of a physical, mental, or material nature. We want a career, a family. We want to feel good. And yes, we do want money or health, companionship or friends. And then we seek it in the world. Only when we fail to demonstrate what we considered our heart's desire? Do we contemplate the thought that perhaps we have not chosen wisely? Now, even though we have discovered the error of our ways, it is not easy to let go of our desire to demonstrate something. Now, nevertheless, I do not think this is necessarily a bad thing. It is simply a matter of us determining the quality of what we wish to have manifest as our life experience. The choice is ours. Do we sow to the flesh, or do we sow to the spirit? And honestly, this is only the choice, the only one that we have to make. Choosing the high way, the one of lifted consciousness, we call forth all that is contained in that expression. We don't have to make it. We don't have to create it. The Spirit of God indwells us. And to the extent that we open ourselves to it, things begin to happen. We stand down in a personal way, observing the river of life flow through us as Christ, to heal the sick, feed the hungry, and raise the dead. All that God is begins to flow through that mind, like a tree that is planted by the river of life, whose leaves do not wither, and whatsoever it does shall prosper. God is always sending his beloved child into the world, and one day, we become aware of it. Choosing to serve Spirit, we say, "Thank you, Father, for having heard me. I know that you hear me always, but this day I heard you." Let us take a few moments and bear witness to the Christ that dwells in each one of us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. We enter the holy sanctuary, that blessed place of harmony, joy, and peace. We feel his love, and the world melts away. His loving touch wipes away the tears of distress and disappointment. His kingdom is our refuge and strength. Come on to me. Enjoy my abundant nature. Eat of the fruit of spiritual refreshment. One with life, eternal life, no beginning and no end. Rejoice in the truth that I never leave you. I have planted myself in the silent, secret place of your inner being. Choose this day to acquaint yourself with me, so that we may travel life's highways together. One with my presence, the flowers bloom, and the birds sing their melodies of love, saluting us as we walk together in love, wisdom, and understanding. The earth is mine, and the fullness thereof. I love you, and I care for you. You are my beloved child. Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him, all ye praise unto his name. Amen.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.